Blog Talk Radio.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Comedy legend Brian Posehn is on the show.
Yeah, we're about to start. So just on Blog Talk.
Hey, Rod's office.
Hi, this is Rob from Metal Injection. I have an interview scheduled with Brian Posehn.
Great, give me one moment for Brian.
Great, thank you.
Brian, you're on with Rob.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Thanks
good.
So much for doing this. So it's not
yeah,
just me. It's me. I have three other people with me here. Noah.
Hey, Brian.
Sid.
Hello.
And Darren.
Going on.
And we'll just
hey.
Hang out, have a natural convo. So we're about to go on the air, so we're just going to put you on hold, cue our music, and then we'll bring you right on.
Okay, cool.
So just stand by for 1 second. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh.
go.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Comedy legend Brian Posehn is on the show tonight promoting his new metal album. Comedians doing metal albums. What's next? A Frankie Palmieri stand-up tour. Actually, that couldn't be worse than a new M.U.R. album. Go for it, Frankie. The Metal Injection Live cast starts now.
All right. Well, we're very excited. It's a special edition of the live cast, and we're kicking it off hot. Welcome. It's Metal Injection Live cast 551. It's Rob here with Noah, Sid,
hey,
and 3D.
Yeah.
Noah's mic was off, so typical woman. Keep her off, Mike. No, I'm kidding.
Sounds like it's still off.
Oh, no. There might be some situation. Well, maybe Noah and Sid can share. And right now, we have a fifth mic, a very special guest, on the air with us, Brian Posehn.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming
returning
on the show. I want to mention, Brian, you're releasing your first full-length heavy metal album, Grandpa Metal, on Megaforce Records, on a very romantic day, Valentine's Day. The perfect Valentine's Day gift for your loved one would be the new Brian Posehn.
If you got a nerdy, heavy metal loving husband or wife, perfect. The perfect purchase.
Now, this album has been
thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. This album has been many years in the making. You were actually on our show about 3.5 years ago, and you were saying how you had a few songs written at the time. So how long how long total did it take to put this together?
We're saying 6 years. I think that's about right. Like, so we talked about it, and then I signed with Megaforce about 6 years and started the project. And I'm kind of embarrassed that it took that long, but it's really because of, you know, Scott and I having crazy schedules, and then we just let it, you know, and we had a really patient producer, Jay Rustin, who let us take our time with it. And then we got to a certain point where we're like, we should wrap this up. And then I took about a year to finish it, where I got help from other people to kind of, cause we needed more songs. We realized we were like a couple of songs short of a record. And so, me and Joe Troman wrote the last couple of songs.
What were the last songs that you wrote? Do you remember?
We finished up the lyrics for Grandpa Metal. I had been kind of stuck I had the concept, but the song had been written. Scott had written the music, and we, you know, done a demo of the song, but didn't have the lyrics. And then I got help with that. And then once we did that, we did Monster Mosh and Big Fat Rock together. And that was the idea of just like, let's do, you know, the way I said to Joe was let's write a song about my wiener that even Steel Panther would go, no, that's too dumb. You know, that was the idea. Let's out dumb Steel Panther. And those guys are friends. I love those guys, but it was just like, let's make the dumbest, you know, cause I grew up with all these songs where, you know, that were innuendo driven or, you know, double entendre or single entendre where it's quite obvious that the song that Gene Simmons is writing is about his wiener, you know, and we all know it. And so it was just the idea of let's do a song about my wiener where it's not subtle at all. It's the opposite of subtle.
Right. You there's really a line, and by rock, I mean my cock, right? Like you're not even, there's no
yeah.
on top.
Yeah.
Zero.
I think I even say in the one of the lyrics is that this is an innuendo. Like I'm talking about my cock. Yeah.
And honestly, one thing that stands out, like I went into this expecting a comedy album, but what shines so bright for me is what a great riff writer Scott Ian is, because there are legitimately some amazing riffs on this record. Like, were you in the studio listening to this and be like, holy shit, like this is fucking Scott Ian, and he's writing all these great riffs, and now I have to like step up and I have to like actually, you know, deliver here? You know, is there pressure hearing these riffs?
Oh, there is. Yeah, there is. But I also, duh. I mean, you know, I'd written other songs with him, so I knew, you know, Metal by Numbers right. and More Metal Than You are, you know, I think people like them because they are so, you know, they're written by him. Like, I wrote dumb lyrics and I yelled Cookie Monster vocals into a, you know, a microphone, but they're decent songs because he's amazing and always has been. And I mean, I grew up loving Anthrax, but I also loved SOD. So this whole thing has just been basically like me forming my version of SOD with the guy from SOD. Like, every time he and I, you know, sit down and write a song together, that's always been my thing of like, I'm with this guy. So now it's up to me to fuck it up, really. You know, like, he's got the metal down. It's not like I'm starting a band with a buddy of mine, you know, like I'm starting
right,
a band
right,
with
exactly.
Scott Ian.
Not every day that could happen. And I love,
no.
So you have a lot of guest appearances here. You call some friends, I'm assuming, and it really makes the whole thing seem very theatrical. Like one of the songs is called One Quarter Viking, Three Quarters Pussy. And I assume that has Johan Hegg on it, right? Because he's in the credits.
Yes.
And so now did you come up with the song concept first, or was it like, man, I gotta collaborate with Johan, how do I get him on a song? And then you got the joke that way. Which came first?
Well, with that one, I wrote the song first, and then I said to Jay Rustin, my producer, do you think we could get him? And he's like, Jay produced an album for Amon Amarth. He's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Let me call him. So the favors all came easily. The favors all came easily of me just going, hey, you know, let me call whoever. But I always wanted it to be an organic fit. Like the only one where it's a little off, but I love it, is, you know, asking Alex Skolnick to do a solo on that song. But he killed it. But everybody else, they kind of fit the song. You know what I mean? Like, he'd never done you know, he's from Testament, but he'd never done like Viking type stuff. But to write a Slayer song or a, you know, that Satan song, and then to get Gary Holt to do the solo, that was kind of calculated. I mean, a lot of it was me just going, yeah, this would be perfect. If I get him to do this, this will fit really well, you know?
It's funny, I have in my notes that the solo on, One Quarter Viking, Three Quarters Pussy is like insane, and I was like blown away by it. I was like, this holds up to any solo in, like, you know, series, quote unquote.
No, I know, and it's Skolnick killing it. Everybody I asked to do it, they just completely delivered. And like, I was playing it for people, and they're like, man, this is kind of the guitar record of the year. And it's like, yeah, and I didn't even think about it, but.
Yeah.
But when you're asking that many shredders to be on this record, of course, you know, when you get Phil Demmel and you got Alex Skolnick and you've got Gary Holt and Brendan Small and, you know, it stacks up, and you get Bumblefoot and Phil Demmel and everybody on there.
Yeah, it almost caught me. It like caught me off guard for a second. I'm like, well, what do you expect? These are all like pros. These aren't. You know, it isn't your buddy, like you were saying. These are big time,
right?
And folks,
there's a couple of cover songs on the album. How did you decide which songs to do covers of?
Well, I've done "Take on Me" at karaoke before, so that's kind of how I decide. On my, you know, I did a cover of "The Gambler" before, and that is also something I've done at karaoke. You know, where I'll get a couple of whiskeys in me and I'll get up and I'll just scream a song. And that's how I had done that. So I knew that would be funny. And then I also, the big part of why I picked those songs is I was just like, I've always thought that any song is better if it's done heavy metal style. Like, if you could take any song and make it better just by putting more guitars and producing it the way we like our music. And that was just the basic idea of, like, let's take two goofy pop tunes that people know, but do kind of the best versions of them. And it took a little bit of convincing, like with Chuck Billy, you know, I asked him to be on it, and he's like, what am I doing? Take on me, really, that song? And I sent it to him, and he's like, no, I sent it to him, and he goes, no, I know the song, but how do you want me to sing it? I'm like, dude, I want Chuck Billy, you know, I want you to Chuck Billy it up. That's all what I always wanted. And then to get him and Zetro, two of my favorite, you know, thrash vocalists on the same track. And then with Jill Janis of Huntress, that, you know, she killed it.
I think everyone really delivers on the album, and I love some of the messages of the songs, like the title track itself, just mocking. Well, the joke is on Scott Ian, but I'm assuming you're joking about a sort of metalhead that just refuses to listen to new music.
Oh yeah, yeah, myself included. Well, I'm actually pretty open-minded, but. No, it's making fun of every crusty old metalhead that you know that is like, nah, there hasn't been anything good since 1992. You know, it's that guy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then I love that there's two versions of New Music Sucks, because there's just so many people that you get to shit on. And one of the people that you call out was Post Malone. I was curious what your thoughts are on seeing that now Ozzy is on a Post Malone track. How did you feel about that?
Ugh, have you heard that song?
Understood.
It's terrible. Here's the thing. I mean, I love that Post Malone is now at least, because I hate when pop people are like, I like heavy metal. Look at this heavy metal t-shirt I bought online, you know, and then they're, you know, like when Katy Perry's wearing, or whatever dildo pop star, I'm sorry, but that's always been a pet peeve of mine, you know, mm-hmm. Like I remember hearing like a couple of years back where people were like, Lady Gaga likes metal. And I'm like, we'll prove it. And then she did the thing with Metallica and I was like, well, all right.
But I'll allow it.
But at least, you know, the love is there. The love is real. I can't really shit on somebody for liking metal, but, you know, when you don't really, that's when it pisses me off. It's when a Kardashian is wearing a torn up Megadeth shirt, you know, I lose my mind. And when I go to Nordstrom's and I see, you know, a Ride the Lightning, but in a jersey in the women's section for $100, you know, the poser bell goes off in my head. But if Post Malone legitimately likes heavy metal, then that's cool.
Well, didn't he used to be in metal band?
He used to be in an Asking Alexandria cover band or whatever. But
what, really?
Yeah,
what
yeah. He liked theme core.
Oh,
or whatever.
My God.
We have a He was into like scene bands, Post Malone, because he's only like 21. He's a young guy, 24, something like that.
Right.
He's 47 years old.
Yeah. So he was into like the hardcore, like the metalcore stuff of the mid aughts. We do have a number.
Oh, so
here.
Like Atreyu and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was in an Asking Alexandria cover band. There's like footage of him from like the MySpace thing. And he had the hair.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So our number is 213 Wide Nut, 213-943-3688. If you want to talk to Brian, we have 567. Do you have a question for Brian for
Hey, hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. It's Baby Daniel. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. We're on the air with Brian. Do you have a question for Brian?
Yeah. Firstly, Brian, thanks for the great music. I remember hearing Metal by Numbers the first time when I was like a 13-year-old, and it was just awesome because someone finally combined comedy and metal, and I thought I was the only one that liked metal that also had a sense of humor, so thank you for doing that.
Nice.
My question is, when you worked with the musicians that you collaborated with, I'm imagining, right, you're a fan of these guys. You knew of them before you worked with them. Did you find out that any of them were also fans of yours?
Oh, everybody. So it's everybody on the record. They're all friends, and you know, I've known them for a while. So they're all people that, like, I know that they also like the dumb shit I do. Yeah, everybody that's on there, and like from Chuck to the only one that was Johan, we found out knew who I was through the producer, but everybody else was just me calling in favors of, you know, and then people going, hey, I'll you know, next time you're recording a record, let me know, I'll do it. And then I went, okay, I'll hold you to it. Like, that was literally what Chuck had said. And then I called him like a year later and said, okay, I'm doing this thing, I want you on it.
And you also had Weird Al make a cameo, which must have been a big deal for you. And how much of an inspiration was his stuff for this album?
Well, he's never done metal, but I mean, funny music, yes. You know,
right,
he's
right.
A huge inspiration. And, his parodies are sillier. For my parodies, I kept it straight and I didn't change the lyrics at all. Or not parodies, I didn't do any parodies, but I did covers. But it's a different thing, but it also made sense. There was a little bit of like, if I put him on, it's almost like in The Rundown where Schwarzenegger hands off to The Rock. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
It's such a dumb reference. Yeah, there's a little bit of like, hey, if I get Weird Al on my record, that's like Schwarzenegger being in The Rundown.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
When we last talked in 2016, one thing you mentioned was we were talking about weed, and you were saying you had no idea how you would handle the drug talk with your 7-year-old kid. We were curious if since then you've either figured it out or had the conversation, or what's the up? Is there any update there?
Nah, he's 10 now, and I luckily haven't yet, but I'm
coming up
eventually. Yeah, it's coming.
And now with, like, I feel like weed in general in the last 3 years has evolved into so many different forms now with these vape pens and edibles and living on the West Coast where it's all legal. Like, are you still doing it the analog way, the traditional flower?
I am, but those pens are great for traveling, put it that way. Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I mean, it's kind of hard not to smoke at this point. Like, I had quit, but then now it's so accessible. Like, how do you say no to it? You can get a dude to deliver it at the same time as your food. It's pretty amazing.
Same guy sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, you can time it correctly. Yeah, sometimes it is the same gentleman.
Uber Eats needs to start getting in on the action.
Uber Edibles.
Yeah. I'm sure there are.
For sure.
Well,
what?
Brian, thank you so much for taking some time to hang out with us. Oh, are you now that the album is over, you're about to go on tour? Are you listening? Do you have your playlists ready? Are you listening to any new stuff or any classics? Like, what's been in your ears lately?
Well, since last week, I've only listened to Rush since Friday. But other than that, you know, the morning process. There's some the latest stuff I like. I'm not too hip. I wish some people would turn me on to some newer stuff. Like the most recent stuff I like are Power Trip and Havoc, and both those bands have been around at least 5 years now. So, but there's nobody on my radar that's brand new. But, you know, I love what old bands are doing. I love the latest Death Angel. I'm so stoked that they're up for a Grammy, even though they don't mean anything. But it's very cool to see friends of yours, you know, even in a band that I've liked since I was a teenager, recognized finally. But yeah, and then it's mostly the old stuff. You know, I listen to a lot of Maiden, a lot of Metallica, a lot of everything.
Have you ever listened to Crotch Duster?
No.
I know them only by name. They're not something I'm super familiar with.
I think you might like them. We got a little preview of Grandpa Metal, and when I was listening to it, I was just like, first of all, it's such a fun album, and I don't know, it's not similar to Crotch Duster, but it's like the same like fun feeling. So I thought
same genre, different vibes. It's
yeah, I'll check them out.
Yeah,
they've been around a while, and I don't know why I've never checked them out, but I just the name, maybe it was the silly name, and you would think because I'm a comic, it would attract me, but I sometimes names like that throw me off. Where you're like, well, they're probably not serious. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the music is very serious, much like with your album.
But it's funny. But you know, like every metalhead, we have our opinions before we hear stuff, and that's you know what I mean. Like that's kind of how I looked at that. I'll check it out.
Thank you.
The inspiration
so much
for the record came from like SOD and like Scatterbrain. Scatterbrain. I don't know if you guys remember, but that was a big thing. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it was also just like very cool to hear Jill Janis on the album, and for you know, just like fans to have something new out from her is pretty cool.
That's so heartbreaking, but yeah, that was part of the thing that I was like, oh, at least there's two new songs for people to hear, and I can't wait for people to hear the Goblin Love song. I don't know if you heard that one yet, but
Yeah,
I mean, she's so funny on it, and she was nervous about that. She was like, you wrote all these funny things. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And I was like, no, you can. I said, I just want you to do your crazy black metal goblin voice. You know, she already did that kind of thing. I was just like, do that and just don't worry about it. You're going to kill it. And she did. I'm so proud of that song, and it's so funny, and she's so great. And then when she sings her balls off. Everybody knows what an amazing singer she was.
Yep. And you spoke very highly of her last time we had you on. You were saying how she was so good at doing that goblin voice that you kind of had to go back and like upgrade your vocals.
It's true. I did. I re-recorded my track after I heard her track. I was just like, well, that won't work. You know, you can't half-ass it with her in the,
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much. The album is Grandpa Metal. It is out on Valentine's Day, February 14th. The perfect gift for a loved one, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a great one, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
All right.
What a delight that man is.
What a swell guy.
Yeah.
That was Brian Posehn, Grandpa Metal. Wonderful stuff.
I feel so horrible, though, because
why?
I was listening to that album earlier today, and I didn't know Alex Skolnick was on it, and I listened to that song, and I'm like, man, I usually hate guitar solos, but this is
fucking
incredible.
That was my
incredible.
Favorite track, and now I know why.
He pointed out he loved the solo to me.
Thank you for saying something positive about Alex Skolnick, Sid.
Never again!
God damn.
That was the Alex Skolnick challenge for Sid.
It's like eating one of those impossible burgers. I didn't know I was eating it. I thought it was a real burger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After the fact, it tasted like shit.
I have to go purge in the bathroom afterwards.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And also just like cool to see that Brian had a lot of live cast guests on this album.
Oh my god.
So many.
We should get like,
I guess we're related.
Production credit or something, right?
Yeah.
We just both have
talent scouts.
Similar good tastes,
I suppose.
Yeah.
And guest appearances. Baby Daniel still on the line.
Great question, Baby Daniel.
Yeah.
Wait, can you guys still hear me?
Well, you
now
were,
we
you,
can.
You were on mute previously.
Your line was fuzzy.
You're in the car.
I thought maybe like you guys could hear all the ambient sounds from my car that whole time. So how is everybody tonight? I think I might have missed the first part of the show because when I called in, I was like partway through the Brian interview.
That's all we've done so far.
Yeah.
That's our
okay,
opener.
Cool. So I haven't missed anything.
Well, you missed a great interview with Brian. Well, most of it.
You got to participate.
Yeah, you got a good amount of it, though. All right, so I'm assuming you're just listening, so we'll put you back on hold.
And let's get to Rob's NAMM story.
Ooh,
Rob's NAMM story.
I did go to NAMM. Unfortunately, I was not able to meet up with the usual L.A. livecast crew.
Quote, unquote, not able.
I did have some other plans at the time. And it was a busy week. But I went to Dime Bash on Thursday.
Did anything transpire from the stage?
Let me take a step back. When I got there, I mean, you know, it was like one of those things like why do I still live in New York? Like, what's going on? The weather was phenomenal. I was like within 10 minutes of having the car, I was at a dispensary with like infinite choices. In fact, it was a dispensary that I personally picked out on a weed Yelp called Weed Maps.
No.
Weed Maps, it's called. But they have the menus. They have all the menus. So you could just, I was like, while the car was being.
Is there like curbside takeaway? You get a blooming onion and some weed.
Well, there's delivery services, like as Brian was saying. But I like the storefront experience. I like to go. I like being like a kid in a candy store to the point that the girl at the register was like, "This is quite a purchase you're making."
Really?
In what sense? Like you bought a lot of things?
I just bought a bunch of. I bought like 10 or 12 joints.
Was it all for you, or were you getting for friends as well?
I mean, it was all for me, but not the intent. The intent was also like smoke with other people.
Okay.
Like,
but you didn't have like you didn't take people's order in advance.
No. This was all my order.
Okay.
And I've come to realize that it's better to overdo it than find yourself like, you know,
but
low.
But now they have delivery services. So if
yeah, but I don't want
to
deal with that.
Stores. You could just go to the store and get it.
That's where
everywhere.
I went. But it's not everywhere. There's rules. You have to be X amount of miles away from a school. Blah blah blah. So it'd be like an Uber. It would be a whole schlep to get. So it's like, this is my one shot.
Yeah, Rob likes to, when he smokes, he likes to pull up beside a high school and just during recess
all
and
the
just
kids.
Relax.
That's not what I'm
and
saying.
Go,
I'm
himself,
really.
I'm saying they're kept away from like parts of the city where like there would be like it's
you're not
responsible.
Going to those parts of the city.
No, I mean, there it's just like a fucking like a garage in the middle of nowhere. The point I'm making is it would be like a half hour ride to get it.
Okay.
I'm already there. I gotta get it. Gotta get it for the week.
Shot.
Rob, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow smoke in children's faces at high school.
Well, that was it. I was standing there. I was like, is this enough? Should I get a few more? And I was like, yeah, get a few more. What's the worst that will happen? I have to smoke more?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, poor. I get better than the other, which is I want to smoke more, and I don't have it. I don't want that.
But I'm sure everyone around you would also have. So you could just ask them.
Exactly.
I've been in that situation. I don't want to put myself in that situation where I have to find.
He doesn't
want to
be a fiend.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Exactly. I
get
I
it.
Like
he's an adult. He can have his own.
That was, I was like, I can afford it.
He's got big pockets.
The Soros checks.
They
came
take.
In, I guess.
They take credit card. It's very nice. I got some rewards on it.
Nice humble brag.
Yeah.
I can afford to blow money on weed. It's like I don't do. I have very few vices. It's just weed. So anyway, so I get my stuff and I got. So it's ridiculous because you get so overwhelmed, even though I had the menu, you know, the menu on the website isn't exactly
got the bait and switch.
It was a little bait and switch. So I had to like make some last minute decisions because they were out of a few things. They had a few other things. And so at the end I was like, all right. And I'll also, you know what I'll do? these. And that's when the person was like, wow, you're making quite the purchase here. I'm like, yeah, well.
You need options.
Yeah. And one thing I will say that's kind of weird is the packaging has gotten out of control.
What, they're like elaborate now?
Yeah, it's so elaborate. Like, so there's
childproof, so you could, you had to have somebody open it for you?
No. In Canada, everything is childproof, mm-hmm. actually. Here, no. Mm-hmm. But
they don't care.
Here, it's already open.
Well, here, it never gets to the plant for packaging. There's just some dude that gets it off.
Well,
the
first thing you go in, you have to show your ID. It's like you don't even see anything before you show your ID. Then you have to go into another room. Before I went into the other room, they were like, would you like to join our club? And I was like, no. She's like, you get 10% off. Yes. I will join your club.
Do they have, you get like a little card and they have a hole puncher every time you buy some weed? The 10th weed is free?
No, just based on your ID.
They punch in holes in your ID?
No, your driver's license. No, they have a computer.
I know.
Come on.
It's like fucking Costco for weed. What the fuck?
It was great. It was more of a boutique. It wasn't a big Costco. And then, you know, I got my joints and then I'm leaving and I hear in the background, big fan of your work. And in my head, I'm like, oh, is there a rapper here? And I turn around like, who's the rapper? And then another guy at the counter was actually talking to me. It was some metalhead. It was like, oh, I'm a big fan of your work. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. Did I get a free joint? No,
you
I didn't.
Mean, this show or your blog
your blogs.
Post?
I didn't sit there and be like, what specifically are you a fan
Why not?
Of?
You do that to everyone who calls this show.
I was just going
to
say, exactly. Took the words out of my mouth. Every time someone calls in, which segment did you like the most?
Well, it's a little
How
different.
How long have you been
listening? I was running out of the fucking dispensary, and I was like ready to fucking...
Okay,
you know,
right.
Smoked it like, you know.
Rob was already
inhaled.
Salivating.
Your inner monster was starving.
Yeah, exactly. I could.
Because you just came off one of your 2 week self-imposed not smoking weed things?
No, it was like a 5 hour.
Oh, 5 hours. Well, that's
the flight
long
over.
Too.
The flight over was pretty tough.
Did you try to open a window and blow some smoke out and fucking cause suction and people sucked out of the
plane? I will say, I'm not going to say I didn't smoke before leaving for the flight, but I didn't smoke. Like, previously, I would get blasted before going to the airport, and I realized it's very counterproductive because, first of all, by the time you sit in the plane, the high is gone.
Yeah.
And secondly, that means, like, it just adds so much unnecessary anxiety to the you know, check-in process,
check it, yeah.
And it's like it counterbalances the situation I'm in. And it was at that point, that was one of the points where I was like, well, I've really turned the corner with my marijuana, where now there are situations where it's not even enjoyable.
Good.
To smoke pot.
Good. I worry about
that. So, but, you know, I mean, I didn't smoke during the day. We were doing business. It was only at the end of the day, although believe me, I thought about it. but so
it was like the telltale heart where your pockets were just beating like the joints were like smoke weed.
Well, I would only when I would go to the NAMM show, so the NAMM show is during the day, it's like 10 to 5 or 6. 6 is when it closes. I only put one joint in my bag as my like, you know, end of the day reward. Because, yeah, if I had a multiples, who knows? I don't want to even – I don't even want to think about that. So, anyway, first night we went to the Dime Bash. It was a great party. It was in Santa Ana at the Observatory. And last year, of course, I went, and that's where I met Dave Grohl. And it was like
barbecue.
One of the craziest experiences.
Oh, that was a year ago already?
That was a year ago, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And
what
so
– happened? Flies. Time
we're
is
back.
Getting shorter as we get older.
Mm-hmm. We're back at the Observatory. And,
is there barbecue?
There is barbecue. Dave Grohl is back.
Wow.
He's there again, which
did
is like when
he come up to you and say he missed you?
When it was announced, I'll get to it. When it was announced, I was like, well, obviously I can't go to anything else. Oh,
yeah.
I'm jumping ahead in the story.
Jesus Christ.
Before the Observatory,
like
before,
debutante, yeah.
Before the Dime Bash, there was a blackened whiskey tasting party. Blackened whiskey is Metallica's new whiskey. And so there was a whiskey tasting party by the hotel. And so I'm already, they had whiskey martinis.
Wow.
They had, I was doing whiskey shots.
What is it? How do you make a whiskey martini?
It was like all the ingredients of a martini, whiskey instead of a vodka, I guess.
Gotcha. Doesn't seem like a martini anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's I don't know, whatever. It fucking got me drunk.
Had a
it,
fun
was,
name.
It was. It was.
Well, yeah, it's got whiskey in it.
So I was already on
it
quite.
Was
I was on.
Do they have whiskey tequilas? That's just a glass of whiskey.
With a worm in it.
Yeah. No, not even. Go on.
Well,
is it black?
How is the whiskey?
Like,
no.
It's called blackened, but it's like normal whiskey color?
Hey, it's a dark brown. I mean, it's whiskey. Whiskey
I mean,
can't be black.
Johnny Walker Black. Is it black?
But that's the label.
So
this is
mean?
The label.
But it's set.
Well, the reason it's called blackened whiskey, get this, is because for the last process of the aging, they actually play Metallica.
Oh, come on.
And the vibrations shake the wood
really?
To like. Yeah, it's like a
oh,
whole thing.
Yes, that's scientifically plausible.
But it is something like not necessarily Metallica, but they do. That is something that is done where like they send. I don't know, whatever.
The, oh, no, I want to hear this.
The rep was given the picture. I was like, oh, that's cool. All right.
Well,
sure.
It's a cool sure. story. I
get
guess.
Me drunk.
They don't expect you to really believe
because
like
it's a boutique whiskey. No, I assume
wait,
they do it.
Isn't that also what like the U.S. Military did to like prisoners?
Yes.
But it was shittier music. I don't think they used Metallica.
Oh,
they
no, I think
Metallica.
Like Slayer Metallica.
It was like metal songs.
Yeah. There was so maybe I'm
Metallica, I believe,
story.
Asked them to stop using the music.
Like, stop it. We're going to do this with our whiskey now.
It was too effective. They're into human rights, even for terrorists.
It's actually not whiskey. It's just the water left over from waterboarding that they've bottled. That Metallica was playing while the waterboarding
right.
happened.
Right, but... They took the waterboarding water and they played some Metallica into the thing, so it vibrated. By the way, I had a whiskey Slurpee. I don't know if
what?
Yeah, they just went into a 7-Eleven and drank some whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was great. Delicious.
Well, the whiskey was good. And,
I'm sure.
It definitely got me lifted. And then I went to the Dime Bash already.
Oh,
and I believe I did a tequila shot back at the hotel before going.
Wait,
to the...
whiskey tequila? Or regular?
Regular
okay.
tequila.
Tequila tequila?
I had no more. After the blackened party, there was no more blackened whiskey or tequila.
She's a Nazi now, right?
She is a white nationalist, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know still, but like a few years
ago. Oh, right.
In 2016.
Let's not allege anything that's not the case.
But,
can you be a white nationalist if you're not white?
That's
yes.
what was so weird about it, is that she's like a Pacific Islander.
Yeah, there's
got to
be a
right?
different name for it, though. It's just not accurate.
Well, no, I don't think... I think that is the correct name because she is promoting white nationalism, whether she is or not.
But there's... I don't know. There needs to be some kind of...
Come up with
modifier.
How about like a
off-white
traitor.
Nationalist? I don't know.
Traitor?
Yeah.
Self-hatred? Is that a good word?
That I don't know. That's not fun enough. I want it to be fun.
She would have been on the second cattle car right after the Jews she got shipped Jesus in. So
Christ.
I don't know what she's thinking. But. Sorry, Rob. Yes. Got on a tangent.
All right.
So we get to the Dime Bash.
Yeah.
And it's great. Like the party's going. There's a good... amount of big stars like Anthrax is there, like all the heavy hitters, everyone you would kind of expect to see there, and a bunch of friends of mine, so it was great. And again, the tequila, like I was doing tequila shots.
How many did you have?
At least six.
Jesus
what?
Christ.
At least.
And these are shot glasses or like what?
They were.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, they were, I mean, they were shots. They were poured into plastic cups.
It was like
but...
a legit shot size, not like you're guzzling each one, right?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And then I was also chasing with White Claws, I will say. So I'm also drinking malt liquor on top of these tequila shots.
Say, I didn't know what it was.
It's a hard seltzer.
I immediately thought of Bear Claws.
Bear
Claw after each.
It's like a hard seltzer with malt
okay.
liquor. Kind of like, I guess it's like a newly branded
Zima?
Smirnoff Ice, but without the sugar. Like there's no.
So it's really like it's just Smirnoff Ice? Like
it's seltzer and malt liquor. So
gotcha.
It's basically Smirnoff. Smirnoff Ice would also be like a ton of sugar. It would be like a Sprite
okay.
and malt liquor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the hard seltzers are like all the craze mm-hmm. now. Like even fucking Budweiser has.
Bud Light came out with it.
Yeah.
Which, seltzer. Which it already
Corona,
is. Like
there's
what?
Corona seltzer.
What is Bud Light? If
it doesn't have the bread taste, I guess.
Oh, is that real? Is that right?
Well, like Bud Light is just tastes like hops, water, bread, bread water. This would just be the water.
It tastes like when you drop your sandwich in the sink and you're really hungry and you just eat it anyway. It's like landed in a bowl of shit that you filled up a bowl with.
I
water.
Like, yeah, even like, I haven't had a crappy, domestic in forever.
Oh,
but
another humble brag.
I can't say that I don't drink, but I am not a drinker. So, like, I will, if I am drinking, I will binge like I did at Dime Bash, like I'm telling you
that's
right now.
Healthy.
And then just not drink again. I'm not going to drink. I mean, I had like a few beers, right? but like, you're in the environment, but I turned down a ton. Like, I definitely did not get drunk the rest of the weekend.
Sid, which step is this?
I think this is -4.
No, I'm fine. The alcohol is not the issue.
Denial.
Anyway, so, drinking tequila, hanging out, and then I'm Dave Grohl's there, and it's like, I don't want
to. Do you go up to him? You
right.
Wait for him to go up to you.
I don't want to be like a total.
Who makes the first move?
This
well,
is
I was
very
like,
Larry David this scenario.
Yeah, I want to keep my. I don't like. It's not like he doesn't know that everyone around him is flipping out that he's there.
Right.
I don't want to be the approacher.
But
you don't want him to think you're desperate.
But like, also, I was like, I need to. Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to come off desperate. That was my one thing.
Yeah.
That was my one rule. Don't come off desperate. That's all.
No,
like,
wait. Desperate to talk to him or desperate for some barbecue?
Oh no, desperate to talk to him.
Okay,
I knew everyone was getting barbecue.
Yeah.
It was like, you're getting barbecue. I did have the barbecue.
It's okay
I'll
to come
to
off
it.
Desperate for meat.
Yeah. No. That I will. I was like, oh, it'll happen naturally. Like it'll like we'll walk. Let's walk over to Dave. Yeah. Well, it turns out I didn't even have to think about it because he just came up to me.
Again?
He came up to me again, and he goes, "I'm so glad you're here."
Wow.
Did he know who you were?
Well, he's
saying you're
well,
a past smear from the Foo Fighters.
And I was like, oh, well, I'm very glad. That's funny. I'm glad you're here, too. Yeah.
Wow.
And he goes, yeah, like, it means a lot to you. He goes, and I'm like, it means a lot to me that you're saying that. I couldn't even, and then I gave him a hug, and then, like, whatever.
He really said it means a lot that you're here?
Yes.
Like, jokingly or seriously?
Who are you? Seriously, like, I don't.
Why would it ever mean a lot that Rob was here?
I mean, not
it
even.
It doesn't even mean that much that you're here with us right now.
Fuck you, Sid. Don't you ruin this for me. Don't you ruin this for me.
I mean, like, jokes aside, even not ragging on Rob, but, like, not to say that he wouldn't think highly of you to be, but, like, why would you stick out to him that he would say that? It makes me
because that's how much he loves that video. The,
him
again,
with Rocky.
To recap, the reason he was flipping out on me last year, and I don't even want to say flipping out, like, he was being so nice, and, like, whatever is because he loved that one video that it was me interviewing Dave Brocky as a character. And he said he watched it so many times. He showed it to so many people. He showed it to Scotty and he was showing me text of him just showing it to people. Like, it was like, I was like, oh my God. Like, in
I
my
believe
head,
it.
And I was like, what?
It just seems like, wow, he really thinks about it still a year later. Like that.
I'm sure he's probably watched it so many times since.
Cool.
So but he's pretty much like all the views on the video.
He was a mensch, a total mensch. And so then I'm like, now I don't know even the order of events here. So I'm just going to recap little moment. I didn't get blackout drunk. Like, I remember everything that happened that night. But
okay. Your
so
perception of time is.
My perception of time is.
You woke up in bed with Taylor Hawkins.
Completely off because I couldn't believe how quickly everything went, and then it turned out we were there, 6 hours or five, three. I was no,
six
we
hours, five.
No,
three,
no, no.
Four.
I was drinking for 5 hours because I was drinking from seven, like at midnight. I was like, I need to stop
it's
drinking.
It's gonna turn out that Rob never left Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I was drinking for at least 5 hours, and then I cut it out.
There was some native
so it was
audio
at least 4 hours
from this night.
Un chasseur.
Oh, definitely. Well. It was close. So,
there was.
So again, this is a jam. This is a big jam. Yeah. There's really cool stuff going on. Ricky Rackman was there. I wanted to say hi to him, a friend of the show. Yeah. I didn't
still alive, no curse.
I didn't see him there, and I completely like wouldn't have recognized him based on photos the next day because he has like shaggy hair now.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, I there was no way. I would have.
I haven't seen this. What is this? Shaggy
he's like just what your image of
it's
him.
It's like a mushroom cut.
Oh no.
A long mushroom cut.
Yeah, it's just like very
really?
Like a bowl on top
what?
Of his head.
Oh my. I need to see this.
And I think he was wearing sunglasses indoors from the picture.
I didn't see that picture. But anyway, so drunk. And so I'm drunk, having a great time, talking to friends.
Living it up.
I was standing with Frank and another friend of ours, Nick. Not the Nick that was on the show. And Rita, who is Dimebag's basically wife, his widow, essentially, but they weren't married, and the one who organized the event. Mm-hmm. She was walking around being like, I need drummers. Do we have any drummers? I need drummers. And then me and Nick were like, this guy's a drummer, pointing to Frank.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, all right, we're going to do a Roots drum line. Can you come up on stage and do Roots? And Frank was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
It's not a Pantera song.
It wasn't just Pantera covers. Oh. There was just like classic metal covers. It was just a good time, you know. But there was a lot of Pantera covers. And so it was like Roots. And so then Frank is like trying to practice it. And I'm like, and I'm at this point, I am out of this world. Like I'm on a different level of drunk. I'm on a new level of drunk.
Son Sanshin.
I'm on Sanshin. Sanshin.
Shushin.
And so I just go like, oh, Frank, how hard it's the easiest song. I just go like, all you got to do is pa 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 pa. I just keep saying like, Frank, it's the easiest drumming. Pa 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 pa. And like, we're all laughing. We're like, it's like, dude, you realize that's the wrong song.
So he knew from your ba 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 what you were singing and identified it as the wrong song.
Yes, because the song that they were going to cover was Roots, but the drum beat that I was mouthing was Refuse Resist.
Wow. I'm surprised you got it close enough to a song that he can pick it
up. Oh, well, sure. I mean, I love Sepultura.
Not that you don't love them, but, you know, you were artistically inclined in another direction for music to begin with.
But, I mean...
And you're blitzed also.
I am blitzed, but the drum to Refuse Resist is just so easy. Like, how to... So the whole weekend, we were all done like... and it was like at that point where I was like, oh my God, like that was the awakening of like, I really am drunk.
That is no.
So then it was a really cool moment. Then all these like 20 drummers, every drummer there. And some non-drummers, including Dave Grohl, came up and they did Roots. And Frank was up there. It was such a cool moment. I was, like, vicariously excited for him.
Wow.
And then just in the crowd going, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
I mean, you could have said you were a drummer, too, and they would have probably let you
up there. I could have, but I would be too embarrassed to do that. I would not want to do that.
I think it would have been fine.
It would have been fine, but I wouldn't want to do it.
Then you weren't drunk enough. This is what the moral of the story. A couple more shots of whiskey tequila and you would have been up there on stage drumming with the best of them.
Well, the other, of course, another good friend of Dimebag was there. Nickelback's Chad Kroeger.
What?
Yeah, they were good friends.
How?
I didn't know that.
He,
drinking some tequila.
Yeah.
Whiskey.
Tequila whiskey.
My throat's a little dry here from all this. Chatting from the weekend, from all the yelling.
You're parched from the humble brags.
Fuck off!
Just the ones on this show.
Yeah.
Wow, it's so great to be the storyteller on the show and just be mercilessly mocked by my friends.
Friends.
Robert. So. Chad Kroeger was there, and I believe I've said the story on the show. But I would quickly repeat it. There was a time, and I guess this is a humble brag, when I interned in Roadrunner Records. Not really a humble brag. They didn't pay me. I mean, they eventually gave me some money. But
you made some connections.
Made some connections. It worked out. I'm not going to say I didn't get anything out of it. But so I interned at Roadrunner. And there was this one day. And this was at peak, like the peak of Nickelback. Like they were essentially funding.
Wait, it's not the peak still?
It's a long peak.
Yeah, like it's, you know, when they were really like at the top. Now I guess you would say they're more of a legacy act, which is even sad, sad to say.
Crazy.
Like
in
just
so
like
many
time,
levels.
Time has just passed us by. But it was at their peak, and I remember this one publicist was like walking around the office like, all right, we're going to do a Nickelback photo shoot, but only one photo per person. We have to line up by the kitchen. Let's go. We got to line up. And then like she's like writing, and people are walking over, and I'm like doing work.
Wait, so I'm confused. Was this as like, we know you all want a picture with Nickelback, or hey guys, you got to pretend to want a picture with Nickelback?
The former. Everyone obviously wants a. Well, because here's why. Anytime there's an art, like most of the artists on the way, like you know, oh Slipknot's here, everyone wants a photo with Slipknot. Oh, whoever is here, you know. And then like oh, Nickelback. that's how I took it.
There
like,
was no stampede.
And also, this was like I was at the time probably 21, so it was you know, peak metal elitism kind of.
Yes.
Like oh, I'm better than this, you know. So anyway, but I just remember like in my head it really sticks out to me. Like she's like wrangling, everyone comes up, and then she does like one last pass, and she's like, "Rob, are you gonna get online? You're gonna miss it." It's okay. Like just that she was like so concerned for me, like I might not get this photo with Chad Kroeger.
That was probably a really good look for you though, because they're like, oh man, this intern is so fucking dedicated to the work, passing up a Nickelback photo to keep working.
Oh, I didn't even think about it that way.
Damn, we're definitely gonna have to buy an ad campaign with this kid's shit ass website if it's still around in 10 years.
And this, you mean the one where he did Rob Van Dam's.
Did Metal Injection exist back then?
That's why I wanted to do the internship to get the connection for Metal Injection.
By the way,
they didn't buy it.
This meet and greet was how Avril Lavigne met him, right? She was also an intern there at the same time.
That's who was wrangling people.
Yeah. Oh, that she was. I didn't know she was the PR person.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. Here I had the opposite reaction that like. When I spotted him, I was already quite tipsy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it was more like, oh my God, Chad Kroeger is here?
He laughed at the mere existence.
Just, I was like, I got to get a photo. Like, this is hilarious. I got to get a photo with him. But whatever. So I'm drinking, and this is like the. Sid, you have me so self-conscious now. Because anything I say, I'm like, oh God, this sounds like a humble brag.
Well,
but like, this was like the. VIP/media area. So the plebeian.
Well, we know which one you were, so go on. That's not a humble brag.
Thank you. So it was like its own area, and there was one bar for this area. And, you know, everyone's just drinking shit face. And my party is online, me and a few of my friends. And we're online, we're waiting. And Chad Kroeger is just basically hanging out, like right behind the bar with like two friends. Of his, and
let him behind the bar because he's famous, or like he's making drinks and stuff.
No, like off to the side of the bar.
I got
it was like picture. It's the VIP area was like this outside area, so there was just a tent set up with a kind of a makeshift bar, and
I
he was kind of off to the side of it, and then the line was you know perpendicular to him, let's say, and then so we're up next, and then right as we're up. Chad turns to the bartender who was doing a fantastic job, who really was like killing it. And he's like, hey, can I give you $100 and take two beers? And she just goes, yeah. You know. And he goes, actually, can I take four beers? Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks. Oh, and I feel bad that I cut these people off in line. So let me just buy their round for them. And that was us. So Chad Kroeger bought us a round of bought me specifically a round of tequila and White Claw.
Now you love him.
And this was the tequila that I was like, oh fuck, I need to
Do you think Chad Kroeger roofied you?
Could be.
Could you imagine?
I was looking at the drink being made. Nobody was being roofied. Stop it.
Stop it. But wait, so initially he was going to pay $100 for two beers. And then clearly at some point he's like, well, that's ridiculous. That's not a good value. If I'm going to spend $100, let me make myself look better in doing it. Around for everybody for the same $100.
No. Such a cynic, Sid.
Yes.
The round was not on the 100.
Nickelback
that
truther.
Was a separate transaction.
That was different?
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
that's
girl kept the majority of that.
All right.
Wow.
Jet fuel cannot melt steel photographs.
So I will never, ever
did
say
you talk
about
to him? Like what?
No, because
why did
he
do it? Just randomly, or
he just did it. A few people that I told the story to have said, "Oh, he'll do that.
He's rich.
Yeah,
he's
rich. He's rich beyond belief." So what's funny is like you know all of us were like joking like, "Oh well, how do we hate Nickelback? We love Nickelback now. How can you hate?"
That's how they did it.
That's how they got me.
Could you quickly queue up any Nickelback song on YouTube? Let's see if you can hold out saying something negative.
Hold on one second. Can I finish my story, Sid, before you keep interrupting? Sanctuary. So the next morning, we're all reminiscing, hungover, about this. And we decide, let's give Nickelback an honest listen.
Oh, God.
Fair.
Genuinely, what are we hating on? And here's what I will say. First of all, what was the first song, their breakthrough hit, How You Remind Me?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's catchy.
Like, structurally, it's.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
I liked
it
when it came
out.
No,
it's a good song.
It's
like,
a pop song.
It's a good song. Like, it's,
yeah.
Like, without the Nickelback stigma, like, in a complete vacuum.
Totally
it's a good
agree.
Song. And I liked it when it came out.
But I think the thing about Nickelback has never been that they're, like, musically bad or they're, like, not good musicians.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they're just hack. Like, they're cliche.
Okay.
The lyrics are cliche.
So here's what I like. So then we started listening to other, like we listened to Photograph mm-hmm. and another single. And it was like, oh, these are all the same exact song.
100%.
It's the same exact structure. Yeah. So that I will tell you. But then we started getting into deep cuts.
No.
Like non-single. Mm-hmm. And as crazy as it sounds.
Oh my God.
This is where Nickelback shines.
Oh.
Like
that's a drop.
That's an episode title. Because Brian Posehn will later look back and be like, wait, what was I on? And he will never have any association with metal injection.
First of all, the production is so good. They could afford a good production. Okay, sure. But the musicality is like, it's legit. It's like good, hard rock. Like, I
want to
play,
so
I
want to
play a song. I want to play a song. They wrote a song that this was their song to Dimebag Darrell.
Oh.
Like after
oh,
he
okay.
died.
Didn't know they did one of those.
Yeah, because Chad was a very good friend with him.
This is how Dimebag reminds me of what I'm in here.
It's called Side of a Bullet.
I'm looking at a photograph.
No, I'm not going to.
Of the bullet that hit Dimebag.
That sounds good, actually.
Thank you.
This is where
I'm just covering. This is the Nickelback song.
Okay, here it is.
What the fuck is in Dimebag's head?
Nickel played it, not Nickelback.
This is a pretty heavy riff.
That's great. Come on, drop the bomb show.
Jeez.
Do you think they had to rock this up because, like, Pantera fans would hear it?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. They're very conscious.
But also, this sort of sounds like it's glorifying the shooter a little bit. This is like, I'm getting pumped for, like, who
yeah.
this guy's going to kill.
He was a really great shooter. Yeah. He hit him right between the eyes.
That's not what he
I thought
said.
It was like a rest
Close.
In peace Dimebag, but it's more just about the shooter. he Uncle Sam taught him too well.
Yeah. He had a screaming, shining weapon shining in the sun. It's like an ode to the murderer of Dimebag.
Wow.
Oh, I thought he was thinking about Dimebag. Yeah. I didn't realize
no.
he was thinking about the shooter.
It
oh,
sounds
yeah,
like
yeah.
he's thinking about the shooter.
He stood 6 foot three, muscles rippling in the breeze.
That's the next verse.
Come on, that's not what he's saying.
The whole part about how his dick was so much bigger than Dimebag.
The lines are, please God, don't let him pull it.
And then
you put us through it. So it's like, how is it glorifying him?
That was we're singing the first draft.
His brother watched you do it.
They didn't tell him what they just said. They just told we need you to write a song about this incident, and it was all like pro shooting. And then they came back and said,
"Stop
you
it!"
Know,
no, it has to be anti.
The shooter killed himself right after he did it. Right, he's not still alive, right?
Yeah. No, the cop killed him.
Okay. Do you think if that morning, if somebody told him, all right. If you go through with this, your legacy is going to be that Nickelback will write a song about you. Do you think he would have changed his mind about killing Dimebag? Do you be like, you know, not worth it. Not worth it.
Look,
I think I'm going to sit this one out.
If it were to save Dime, I think that would be all right.
Okay.
I think Nickelback wouldn't mind.
Well,
guys buy it.
But he's talking about the shooter. Would the shooter still shoot him if he knew this? He would have an
right, I'm
about
saying
it?
Nickelback wouldn't mind hearing that somebody did this.
Yeah.
So let's
they have that like Dimebag squeal on the guitar.
As he fled the scene, he drove perfectly through traffic. His driving skills were a little too good from driving that Jeep around Afghanistan.
I'm so uncomfortable.
I'm very uncomfortable.
I'm telling you, I agree. Nickelback should have never wrote such glowing.
They didn't write that. You
fucking Canadians.
Right. They got Billy Gibbons to be on a song.
If only Dimebag had national health care like we do in Canada.
Wait, you're saying getting Billy Gibbons is like a huge get in
no,
this day and age?
Yeah.
Doesn't Chad Kroeger sort of look like the non-bearded member of ZZ Top? Maybe Billy Gibbons got confused.
The shooter's got legs. You know how to use them to run away from the scene.
I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in.
Where's my lighter? This is the deep cut that you like.
This is a single. This isn't a deep cut. I don't recognize it. There we go. This was a little cheap.
I'm digging it.
Decent Kid Rock.
It sounds like Florida Georgia Line or some shit.
Oh, did I mention that the shooter from the other song was really, really tall and really, really strong? Sorry, I got carried away filling into all my lyrics now.
This is embarrassing, this song. This is horrendous. This is like Shania Twain. Like, you're from Canada. We know you're from Canada.
Yeah, stop.
Stop trying to be a country act. What is this?
They have country in Canada. Like,
it's a different country, Rob. That's the point.
So what? They got cowboys.
That's true. Is Nickelback from Calgary? Isn't that where they have the rodeo up there? If they're from Calgary, I'll allow it.
You know the stroke that almost killed Bret Hart was really, really tough and really, really smart.
That was his first draft
animal.
Of the Bret Hart song.
Bad Company.
Rob, how did your NAMM tales turn into just a Nickelback song medley? Like, why is that what the show is right now?
Because this is what we were doing in NAMM. I did not sign off.
So you're saying basically you guys ended up all being Nickelback fans now?
I would say we gained your respect.
You're less contemptuous.
Yes.
Okay, so all you need to do is just buy Rob a shot and a white claw, and he's yours.
You hear that, Richard Spencer?
It helps. Oh, whoa.
Except this is one round of drinks away, buddy.
Whoa.
Putty
I wouldn't go
hand.
That far.
You hear that, Amy Klobuchar? One more endorsement is just around the corner.
Well, the problem is she would throw the white claw bottle at me, and it would just...
You know what? If she did that, she would have my vote. How about that?
Richard Spencer's really smart and really, really cute. I don't know if I like that he hates the Jews, but it's okay.
Oh, man. Oh, Nickelback.
Okay. Anything else you remember from that night?
Yeah. Okay. So that night. So then the show was great. Then the show ended. It was really cool. There was one point where Scotty and Charlie Benante, Frankie Bello, and then Scotty and son, Rebel, I believe his name is, played an Anthrax song and Dave Grohl sang.
Wow.
So that was really cool.
El Duderino says we should play Chad's demo of him glorifying Dylan Roof. Is that
oh,
a,
my God.
Oh,
wow.
Line anywhere?
Come on.
I wouldn't think he'd put that out,
come
but
on, that's, come on.
You never know. I mean,
stop it. That's funny.
I don't know.
I
a couple
agree.
Of us are laughing.
I wouldn't want him to do a
I
song.
I bet you Duderino's laughing.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
His joke.
Rob's laughing too.
I'm not laughing. Stop it.
All right. He's not.
Now I'm laughing at that. Come on. Come on.
Oh, God.
Sorry. So then it was the barbecue time, and I was I mean, it's hard to give a fully honest analysis because I was so drunk and so hungry by this point, you know, like, but it was great. It was brisket. There was a wing.
Oh.
The ribs were fall off the bone.
Beef or short?
It was short.
Pork.
It was pork ribs.
I have a
pork
question.
Ribs, beef brisket, and chicken, like chicken drumsticks and wings. Yeah.
Was Dave Grohl grilling again like last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's his barbecue company. He started a couple.
Yeah, but I didn't know
barbecue.
If he was actually manning
it. Yeah, oh, he was the one smoking everything. He had people helping him. It was very, very organized.
Cool.
And like the line was moving through. Everyone was having a fun time.
So they just do like a catering thing? There's not like an actual storefront you can go and have
exactly.
this barbecue?
Yeah, yeah, it's a catering company essentially at this point. They have three smokers. And
only in California, I guess?
No. I think he's
so. If you guys wanted to have them work the Metal Injection 50th anniversary party, you could have made that happen.
Maybe if we gave him enough notes.
He's such a fan of yours. I mean,
yeah,
he might.
Have him on the show.
Your next holiday party, you should do that. Find an excuse sure. just to.
I think the first step would be like, so Dave, can I get your number? And then.
Why haven't you already done that?
I know. You're supposed to do that. That's, you know, like.
Well,
that's the first step.
Here's the thing. Here's where things got a little.
Uh oh.
Got a little not kosher. All right. So.
Uh-oh.
It's the end of the night. It wasn't anything I did. I'm still in okay graces, but this is what happened.
Wait, the non-kosher part was after you ate the pork ribs?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right.
I went over. I tried
mac
to.
And cheese.
So he's like sitting amongst a bunch of people, and then like there's this like girl punishing him, and then by punishing I mean like you know just being everything that
a
I was
on.
A hanger on.
And it turned out it was Courtney Love.
It was not. It
I
was
thought
not.
This was like some kind of sub dom show.
No. And just being inappropriate and like doing all the things that I was afraid, you know, I was like, don't be this person.
Right.
Like, she was that person. And it was like right when I wanted to be like, oh, thanks. Can we just take a quick picture? And like, I tried to ask somebody else to take a photo of us and they were like, nah, dude, nah. And I realized what it is like those people were his coworkers. Well, like the people he hired for the barbecue thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people have been asking him for photos all day, and he doesn't want to take photos. And they thought I was just like another hang around. They don't know the kind of relationship we have.
Yeah. He watches your video all the time.
And on top of that, this girl was being so weird with him, and then she was like, "I don't know." He just first of all, I really have to hand it to him. He handled it so well. He just walked away. He just walked away and went and like started a conversation with somebody else.
I'm sure he deals with that.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time, of course. And it was like that point was like, you know what, Rob. Just leave. Like
yeah.
you don't wanna like
hopefully
I don't
like,
need a photo. I have the experience. Like I didn't do anything wrong, but it was just like a bad vibe moment, and it was that point of drunkenness that I was in that I was just like, I'm done. I hit the eject button, you know.
At
like
least you had the self awareness. Otherwise you would have been that girl.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna go follow him like, no, but we did do a hug and he was like, oh, it's great to see you, you know, so good. And I still love him.
Still didn't give your number at that point, huh?
Get him on the phone.
How many
podcast.
Times does he need to say it's great to see you? I'm so glad that you're here.
And I'm not even like jokes aside. Like I really feel he would do the podcast. Like since
oh, I'm sure. It's just again, it's just I'd have to go through his policy. It's not like he would just call it.
No. I mean, but the willingness would be there.
Yeah,
I feel like if you went through the publicist, there would be a less.
Well, look, guys,
chance.
It's very easy for you to see it sitting here in the middle of
no, I'm not.
Studio. When you're out there in the field, in the dive bath,
getting bring us.
I know it would
we'll
take work
you.
And all that. I could get that. I'm just
yeah,
I think
yeah.
he'd be into
yeah,
it.
Well, hopefully next year.
Is the food free or do you have to pay?
The food is free.
So it's very hard in the field with the Chad Kroeger buying you drinks, Dave Grohl buying
you
food.
You.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
Well, the food. Well, that's not. It's not for. It's part of the.
Getting to play bongos
the ticket
on stage.
Price.
You did you have to pay for the ticket?
I did buy. I bought tickets because it's a charity event. All the proceeds go to charity.
Which charity? Cleaning up Dimebag's tombstone.
All right. Next.
Well, I'm curious.
I don't.
If it's a charity, I deem worthy or not.
Well, I'll look.
Well,
it up
do you deem that one worthy? Too.
Cleaning up Dimebag's tombstone now.
Okay.
If it's like some bullshit, like music education or nonsense like that. Cure some fucking diseases. How about that?
What about if?
What if it's a? You know what? If it was to clean up the monument of that hero, 6-foot-3 man who shot Dimebag.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Come on.
All right.
That's
over.
Not even funny.
The monument was dirty, but it still looked great.
Look at what we did again.
Well, Chad wrote the song.
Yeah,
me.
Don't kill the messenger. Okay. Straight from Canada.
Okay. All right. Baby Daniel, what do you think about that story?
What do I think about the Dave Grohl story?
Or just everything I've said about NAMM in general.
Are you a Nickelback fan now?
Oh, God, no. Like, I don't inherently hate Chad Kroeger as a Kroeger. I don't know, however you say it. Like, I wouldn't wish that crows, like, pluck his eyes out. But, you know, Nickelback was cool for, like, a minute in middle school. And then, you know, your taste matures and you're like, oh, there's more than just this one song that Nickelback keeps writing over and over and over again, which I don't know how that's made them so famous. Like, is everyone just that simple that they're like, wow, I really like this one song they keep rewriting. I'm just going to keep paying for that.
I think that I can't think of another explanation.
Well, I just think it's been like on radio so much and it just got in the radio station stuff that they get paid royalties for it. It's not that people are, well, I guess, people are buying it because they hear it on radio and they're not exposed to more or heard it. But I have a question for you. If someone from Nickelback bought you and your friends a round of drinks and walked away, wouldn't your opinion change of them?
I don't know. I don't know that my opinion of them would change. I would be very skeptical that there was some kind of ulterior motive for why Chad was buying me a drink.
Well, you can always separate his music from, you know, how good of a guy he is. And what you drink, you can appreciate that he's an okay guy, but still not like Nickelback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. You can be a really good person and just be a really terrible, mediocre musician. Like, the two are not inherently connected, right?
Yes.
Or two things can be true at once.
Also, the reverse is true with David Bain. Like, always, so the day I died, but I can recognize that he is a deranged lunatic with horrible policies.
Yeah, it's
what
unfortunate.
If he bought me a drink, I would thank him, and then I don't drink, but I would say, you know, he did a nice deed. I still think his politics are weird and horrible.
Yes.
Sorry.
Do you think that the real reason... Do you ever wonder if the real reason why Metallica kicked Dave Mustaine out is they found out he was, like, an undercover asshole? But it was, like, way too long before that was going to come to, like, the forefront.
That cover was thrown off quite long before they had
that.
Okay.
For the fight, anyway. No, they legitimately like kicked him out because he was drinking too much and being belligerent.
He was drinking too much, where all of them were alcoholics, and even they were like, "All right, dude."
Because he was, they were
the mean drunk.
Yeah, they were all drunks, but and druggies, but they were capable of making their appointments and like showing up for rehearsals
and not assaulting one another.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Huh. And now Dave Mustaine is like just basically a dry drunk. I mean, he doesn't drink, right, Rob? He doesn't drink anymore. But he
allegedly
has filled the void. We don't know. But what he says, he has classic dry drunk behavior. He's aggressive towards people like George W. Bush.
He's
filling that void with other.
Wasn't Dave Mustaine on the Alex Jones, whatever that was called, that whole debacle?
Yeah. I think so,
like,
right?
They were, like, yeah, cool with each other, right?
Yeah, he was on InfoWars.
Yeah. We talked about
I think,
yeah,
least,
InfoWars.
He has the presence of mind, or at least handlers, to tell him to just keep his politics to himself. And it has made him much less unlikable. Like, I can actually listen to Megadeth again. Whereas a few years ago, I genuinely could not, because I just think about how bad his politics were. It made me resent him. It made me, like, mad that I cared so much.
I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, I just like the music. It too. But so I'm glad at least he doesn't put it out there.
I mean, that's totally reasonable position. I've just never been like that. Like, I can still listen to Michael Jackson music, no problem. Like, it doesn't even occur to me when the song comes on in the store or whatever.
Michael Jackson specifically, I've had pause when it would come on.
I mean, I'm not going to run out of a store if it's
on.
Yeah,
I'm not going to protest it, but
well,
it's
I'm
like, oh, that's a...
picking
that's,
it.
Yeah.
There's so many other options that it's fairly easy. Like, oh, here's a reason to not pick this thing. Cool, mm-hmm. I'll pick the next thing.
So, like, if it came on, I would, like, shuffle past.
No.
Yeah. Oh, like, came on in your collection?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't, because I don't think, like, art is, you know, has to carry everything the person did, like, horrible, heinous things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, same thing with, like, the movie Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
It was directed by Arabia.
Yes.
But I can still watch the movie. Like, I don't feel like I'm confused with his being a rapist. You know what I mean? But there are other people who say that they can't watch. Woody Allen, I think, is more creepy than I actually, like, I don't know that the allegations have been proven anything. Like, he did something that would be considered rape. I think he's more, like, his biggest offense to me was marrying, the girl that she was raising. Yeah. Which is creepy, but it was consensual.
But, like, you know what stuns me about Woody Allen? That, at least as far as I've seen, I haven't seen any Jeffrey Epstein connection. And that blows my mind, because it just seems so obvious that he would have been on that plane at some point.
Well, maybe it's true that he's not molesting
somebody. Ronan Farrow, of all people, you know, should that be the first person you check up on, right?
Well, wasn't Ronan Farrow the one disputing the claim of his sister?
No, I think Ronan Farrow's on board. He's Team Mia.
I thought one of the kids was saying it wasn't true, and the other one was saying, yeah, no, I was raped. Well, I remembered it later in life. I might be getting this totally bungled.
Well,
so forgive
he's
me.
The one that was accused.
There's nothing. The only, like, all of her siblings defend her.
I could have sworn there was. Well, looking up after the show, I could have sworn there was one of the kids that wasn't, and then two of the or whatever the kid is. Yeah, I could. Again, I could be getting this wrong.
Okay, we're gonna put you on hold again, Baby Daniel. Just quickly wrapping up my name story. There was, like I said, after that Dime Bash thing, I woke up so hungover the next morning. Like the type of hungover where you're just like, oh, I'm never drinking again.
Right. Did you have to go work at NAMM?
I did. It was brutal. I had to chug a lot of water, do a lot of rituals, have an Advil.
There's a lot going on over there.
It was, it was so loud. It was so loud. I had to put it up.
It's loud. It's bright, like fluorescent light bulbs.
Huh? The brightness.
A lot of hairspray in the air.
The weather was nice. That kind of woke me up.
I went to that one time, and I still remember the ringing in my ears of how loud it was.
Yeah.
It's 90 decibels inside at all times. So crazy, which is as loud as a concert.
That was 10 years ago that I went there.
Yeah.
That was 2010.
Damn.
That's. But so I one of these. I had a great time with Entheos, by the way, who we've had Cheney on the
mm-hmm.
show.
Uh-huh.
We follow each other on social media, and she
name drop.
She posted a photo on her way to NAMM, being like, "Hey NAMM, the Queen of Green is coming." I was like, "That's great," and I was like, "Oh, we should meet up and smoke." And so we did, and it was. Us and then a few other friends, and it was so nice. It's like the whole California legal thing really clicked for me, because so I was like, all right guys, well, here's this crazy joint that I bought, you know. And then she was like, oh great, and now I have a joint too. And then someone else was like, oh, and I rolled this blunt, guys. So like I was just expecting to smoke the joint that I provided, But everyone in the circle, not everyone, but, you know, people contributed. It was like such a nice bonding moment of being ridiculous.
Now I know where that cold sore came from, Rob.
Oh, stop.
Wow.
That makes a lot of sense.
See, really, I didn't see it. Do you have a cold sore?
Yeah, it's right there on the right side.
It's next to the other one.
Shut up.
Rob's so self-conscious though.
But then after, so I'm not drinking because I'm thankfully stoned. So I wasn't drinking. Like, and it was so weird. It's so weird to tell people you're not drinking, especially in such an environment of alcoholism. And people want to buy you drinks. And everyone's like, all right, let's do some shots. Shot, shot, shot. And I'm like, actually, could you get me a water? Like, no, come on, man. You're doing a shot. And like, no.
So annoying.
I'm not. I really can't. I can't drink.
It's like when you're somewhere and you don't want to dance. No, come on, get up and dance. Let's go. Shut the fuck up.
When I stopped drinking, it got so annoying that I just had to lie. And I was just like, I'm in recovery.
I'm pregnant. You said you were in recovery?
Well, you know, like, that would show. Yeah, like, because everyone was like, start questioning or like forcing it on me. And I
oh, you just don't
want
to go to the
up.
Spiel? You're just like, I'm in
yeah.
recovery.
I'm like,
and
oh,
then
I'm in
then
recovery.
It's a private thing. They don't want
to. And everyone's like, oh, okay. And then they apologize to you and they just like walk away.
That's such a great tip.
For next year.
So
should have done that with Ken Pierce.
but anyway, then, so the thing, so the convention is right by a hotel, the Hilton, and the lobby bar is like the hang. And then some people sometimes rent a suite and then they'll have parties in their suites. Mm. So I was at one of these suite parties. And it was like one of those things
at
where
the
I was
Hilton?
Like, at the Hilton, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it was one of those things where I was like, you know what? I'm probably gonna leave. Because it's like, if I'm not drinking, what am I doing? You can't smoke in the room.
And nachos?
Huh?
Food?
There was no food.
No food.
There was no people. These people, they buy all this alcohol.
Alcohol.
They don't assume people will have to.
Can you order room service? Sneak on their phone and just order room service to their room.
There's also a big
just
party
a burger
in the lobby.
Me.
Yeah.
Right? Is that party still happening?
Yeah. So you escape that one to go to a room party. Anyway, so this room party eventually got so overcrowded that it got shut down. But there was a girl that just being like, can you give me a press? Can you do a press on me?
What?
Like, can you, like,
a perm press?
Like, no, like she's saying she wanted press. Like, I'm an artist.
She wants you to lift her over your head like the ultimate warrior.
And I need a press.
A bench press?
I feel like she needs press, but she kept saying a press, like she needs coverage for her media.
Do a full court press.
Like, could you do a spread on me? Could you do a spread? Like
a nice cheese spread?
She should have learned from Chad Kroger and bought you a drink.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have done anything.
Well, the drinks were free in this. She could have brought me one.
Yeah,
but I wasn't drinking. Maybe if I was drunk, I would have been.
Was it metal
much
smell?
Nicer.
No.
It wasn't, but I did spot her. Spot her in the crowd.
So who was it? Was it a metal artist or?
I don't.
You didn't get her info?
You didn't
want to
do press on her.
I didn't want to give her a press.
She didn't give you a credential of some sort of card, a thumb drive?
No.
A lanyard?
I did get, you know what? I did get some nice folks come up to me being like, hey, I'm a big fan of Metal Injection. Could you check out my band?
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the thing. This is where there's a disconnect. Some
because
of them,
you don't like those kind of bands?
No,
anymore.
I'm fine with it. But then
he's not going to remember.
Somebody, then they handed me a CD. And I have to say, that is a bad move. I realize the only CD player I have is in my car. That's it. I don't have a CD player anywhere in my house. And the rental car that we had was so new, apparently, that they don't even have CD players anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you can't, like, if you're giving people a CD, you're messing up.
You got to airdrop your album on people.
That would be brilliant.
I'm sure
I don't think
do
you,
that.
Or like let me
pending.
Just drone them with a flash drive.
But it, like anyone who has like received from All On can get the album, and that name will be the perfect place.
You should just have like a business card that has a link to our Discord Thrash It or Trash It channel. It's like okay, just put the link in there. I'll get to it. Thank
you.
Not a bad idea.
Right out to the people. Why not?
That is the most likely avenue for us to play something.
For sure.
Recorded. I mean,
unless you're a Nickelback. Then we'll just buy us one drink and we will play your entire back catalog.
Yep. Even the songs you wrote glorifying the shooter.
Oh, come on.
What is Chad Kroeger's take on the Oklahoma City bombing, Rob? Do we have that song? Cue it up.
Son of a bitch.
The explosion was so nice. We're so high in the sky.
All right.
He was down there practicing a southern accent. Did some research.
Southern accents are Canadians in North Dakota.
Yeah.
How are ya?
Before we wind down, we did have some hate mail.
Ooh.
Sweet.
From Chad Kroeger. What the fuck are you guys talking about?
I love hate mail.
Drop. I should have probably had it queued up before saying that we have some hate mail, but we do, in fact.
It's nice to keep us in suspense for a little bit.
Have some hate mail, and it is relationship advice.
Oh.
Wait, asking for or giving
asking
us?
For.
Oh, okay.
Hi, guys. It says it. I've been in a relationship over a year now with my girlfriend.
Just because it says it doesn't mean you have to do it.
He wants to do it even if it doesn't say
it.
So.
Everything has been great relationship-wise as we get along and we enjoy going out together, hanging out. The sex has been great as well.
Mm. Proof?
Okay.
You don't know how old this person is.
I guess.
Well, if they're old enough to have sex, I guess he's old enough
what?
To ask for sex.
I mean, they're at least 1 year old, right? Because they've been in the relationship for a year. So.
Jesus Christ.
At least. Maybe more.
My only worry is that I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Oh, boy.
And unfortunately, my girlfriend lacks in that area.
Oh, dear.
Give it time.
Wait, hold on. The question's not there yet. Hold on.
Yes.
It's still assuming she's won. That's the problem.
Her ass has to drop.
Don't ask shame a 1 year old. How dare you?
Gross.
She's very uncomfortable. I am wholeheartedly an ass man, and I find myself looking at other women's asses, possibly a lot more than a dude in a relationship should. I will say there's no right or wrong amount to look at.
As long as you're just looking.
Is this lack of an attractive feature to me something to worry about? Am I being overly chauvinistic? I worry because the sex life in my last relationship went downhill and negatively affected me mentally. What if a round thing comes in my face and I get sprung and my anaconda does want some? Did Sid and 3D have these worries while in relationships with their wives? Does Noah hate this email yet? Thank you so much. Love the show, the Discord, and the Patreon. One.
Who is it? Who sent it?
Maybe he wants to be anonymous.
Well, we don't need to give out their address, but is your first name or something? Nothing? I'm just curious.
Anchor is the name.
Mm-hmm. Anchor.
So here's what I will say. Looking at girls' butts is, that's like just horny guy stuff. Guys are horny, and we like to innately look at butts. I would say just try to be respectful and
don't do it
in front of.
So I just want to clarify something.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I thought you were done.
Or perhaps there's a way to bring it up and then ogle women with your girlfriend.
What? Okay, don't listen to that.
Erase.
Go back and delete.
I like big butts.
Darren, please.
What I want to know is. So he's content to stay in this relationship, right? Like the fact that she lacks an ass is not.
It seems he's worried about not being content in the future.
Right. Well, that's what I, because it's a little sort of giving me.
That is what he's saying. Yeah.
So he's so.
Because he's saying with his last relationship, that's what happened.
I would say address this now and, openly bring it up to her and say, first on your own, figure out if you love this person.
Okay. I'm sorry, Darren. You can't tell your girlfriend that you've been with
you
that
she has
no ass.
You didn't let me finish. I'm not saying go up to her and say that she has no ass.
Oh, I thought you said address it with her, like her ass.
I mean,
ass
I don't mean have a. I mean address whether you feel that this person is attractive enough for you to be with for the rest of your life or however long you think you're going to be with this person, and then get that like locked down, and then know whether you can move forward with this because you can't if. Obviously most people are not tens, you know what I mean? But like, if you feel strongly enough about this person, then that one thing that you that bothers you should be like a drop in the bucket. Like I'm assuming there is something attractive about this person.
Well, he says the sex is great.
Okay, the sex is
well,
great.
I don't understand
great.
What the problem is.
But sex being great doesn't mean aesthetics. Like you also have to look at this person and wake up next to them every day.
But you're not waking up next
to
them.
I feel like in a relationship you grow to find things attractive about the person.
I agree
that,
with
like,
that too.
You find these little things about them, either perfections or imperfections, that you grow to
yes.
find sexy.
I agree with that. That's a perfectly valid point. But even with once all of that is a complete package. So in other words, there may be some things you find sexy about this person that other people might not.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But whatever the case may be, however you reach your sum total of how much you find this person attractive, you need to believe that that's keeping you in the relationship more so than keeping you wanting to look at other girls' asses on the street.
How
committed are you?
It's like if you're such a colossal ass man, did she have an ass a year ago when you got with her and then you had ass reduction?
Well,
like,
it must have been something attractive about her.
Yeah,
if
she was
good
enough to
was not her ass.
Be with for a year, then why are you looking for reasons
right.
now?
I'm assuming he overlooked maybe that one thing, and there was a lot of beautiful other
yeah.
things about her.
But now somehow it's
well
like,
that, but that's a big red flag that there this is not going to last.
Yeah, well, yeah,
say.
But
I think
it's all on him. It's like if
yeah,
he's 100%.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily mature.
Part of it.
They may not be right for each other.
Well,
Noah, what do you think?
Okay, so I think it's okay to have your private time where you look at girls' asses as long as you are respectful to your girlfriend.
Yes.
You don't do it in front of her. You don't make comments. You don't make comments about her body. And you appreciate the, you know, look at your relationship. And if it feels good and sex is good, that means you're still attracted to each other. She could also probably have something that she likes on a guy that you don't have, which is normal and fine.
Mm-hmm. She's okay with your medium-sized dick.
She hasn't left yet. It's all about how you treat each other. And I just finished a book. It's called Attached. And it's about, like, how... like our attachment in relationships, and I recommend it. It's a fast read, and read it, and maybe you'll find some answers in there about what to do with your relationship and how you guys feel and act towards each other. And definitely don't tell her
mm-hmm.
that she has no ass.
But also,
what if she listens to this podcast?
I didn't say tell
we
her.
Didn't
no,
say any names.
No. But like. Really, truly, I don't know how old you are, but in time, her ass will get bigger, most likely. So if everything else is fine and you want to have this
or
be a long-term thing, eventually you'll get the ass you want. Just stick around.
May I make a suggestion? Why don't you get her a little tiny mini skirt or like a tube top and then pull it over her butt so that like the cheeks stick out a little bit underneath?
Mm. That's not going to help if she has no ass.
I know, but it still looks
give the illusion.
Cute.
I thought you were going to say, like, take her to Chili's or something.
put her in a mini skirt and get some food in her.
I thought she was going to say, like,
get an Arby's gig.
I thought she was like, I thought she was going to be like, get a Duo's gym membership and start doing squats.
or get her, like, I think it's called, like, Brazilian-style thong where it goes all the way up on the hips and, like, gives the illusion of a larger butt.
That's not going to help.
Well, I don't know. It's like small hacks.
It's
but the thing
help.
Is,
what helps, Darren?
I don't know that anything can help. She is what she is. She could be beautiful in that, in what she is. And if he just is not attracted to that, that's okay too.
But I don't think it's worth it.
You shouldn't be trying to change her ass into something bigger.
Well, here's the thing.
Either you appreciate what it is or you don't.
Well, I don't think he's saying. He is not complaining at all about her physical appearance. He's just worried about the potential
of getting a boner.
Also, about like not being attracted.
I didn't say he said any of that. I'm responding to your advice.
He said, what if my anaconda does want some?
Yeah, like if he sees a big butt.
Yeah.
That's why I said in the beginning, you have to determine if this person is worth staying with or they're not. And if they're not, then you ethically tell the person, I want to be with other people, and then you go pursue that. Or you say, that person over there is very, very attractive, but I love you, and I want to stay with you. Well, those are your two options. You can't go out and stay with her because you like her, but she doesn't have an ass, so I'm going to bang this girl with an ass.
No,
that's horrible.
And I think
she's on board with it.
I think a year is a good amount of time because they say you spend four seasons with someone, and you see how they are in all those seasons and how they change. And if you can live with that and it feels good at the end of the year, go on.
Is that that same book or a different book?
That's Oprah.
No, that's Esther Perel.
Who?
Esther Perel.
I thought you said Neil Peart for a
second. Oh, no, rest in peace.
And Neil Peart.
All right. On that note, we got to get out of here, folks. But I do want to mention that you, of course, can get a little extra live cast for yourself with our monthly bonus episodes on Patreon. That's right. Go to patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And you can get all access to all of our bonus episodes that we've released so far. This month's bonus episode is our lovely time at Tad's Steakhouse. And we got a video up there as well about our experience. We ate. We did a roundtable food review. We also have a roundtable discussion about the Hulu Fyre Festival doc, a watch-along of the Netflix Fyre Festival doc. And what else we got up there? We got a Motley Crue watch-along, a Pantera watch-along, and next month, on February 1st, we're going to be doing a Uncut Gems roundtable discussion. So make sure to
so
see
good.
The movie beforehand. There's a bunch of spoilers, but the movie is so good. I really want to see it again. I've been thinking about it ever since we saw it. And, of course, in addition to the top live cast, in addition to the bonus episodes, you can be a top live cast fan of the week by contributing $10 or more. You will get a shout out at the end of the show, which Darren will do momentarily. And there are other perks, which you can get, like Darren leaving a voicemail for you in one of his famous voices. You can sit in on the show if you got some cash to burn. And but right now, let's talk about our top live cast fans of the week. Thank you to you and all of our patrons and all of our listeners. Who do we got?
Yes. These are our top live cast fans of the week. We have Treon, Justin with an E, the one and only Rob with two B's. At some point, I'm just going to start spelling all of these. E-R-I-C Eric. We have Rabaganoush, a.k.a. Justin with an I. Benjamin, B-E, no. El Deuterino, Cynical Sid, Cynic Cynicism. Dan R, another letter. Cattle Decaf with an F. And, of course, Mindy Mayer's Keeper. That is our live cast fan of the week. Our shout-outs. We love all of you. We love all of our fans. Thank you for contributing. It means a lot to us. You get better equipment. You can do lots of other stuff, video. And you're going to see the results in no time at all. Rob, take us home.
Thank you so much. We will be back next Tuesday with another brand new episode of the Metal Injection Live Cast. And thank you, as always, for listening. Come to space by a mountain.